The Old Testament reading for this feast of St. Michael and all angels comes from Daniel, chapters 10 and 12. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days? For the vision is for days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 12. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel, both according to St. Matthew and then also according to St. Luke, starting in the 18th and the 10th chapters. From Matthew, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. From Luke chapter 10. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The feast day of St. Michael, sometimes called Michaelmas, is always on September 29th. But we don't observe it as a movable feast or an observable feast. So if September 29th falls on a Sunday, we note it. But if not, we don't. So these texts only come up every few years, depending upon when leap year is. The last year we read them was 2013. The next will be 2024. And then 2030. And then not again until 2041, by which time I very well might have met the archangel himself. In the standard Protestant complement of scriptures, there are only two angels named. Michael, who is portrayed as the great angel, and Gabriel, who is the angel of the Annunciation. If you add the Apocrypha, which Luther never meant to excise, even if he, along with many others before him, said it was of lesser authority, you pick up the name Raphael. There are plenty of other angels in Scripture that go nameless, all part of the invisible things of creation. That word angel itself simply means messenger. The two that met Mary's at the empty tomb, the seraphim that Isaiah sees in his heavenly vision, the wheels in the sky of Ezekiel, carrying that throne of heaven, and the myriad and myriad in the Apocalypse of John, and plenty of other nameless watchers and holy ones. Michael and Gabriel are specifically called archangels, which just means the head or the ruling angels. And there are plenty of works that you can read that attempt to create some type of celestial hierarchy, usually based on Colossians 1, captured in the hymn, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones. Seraphs, cherubim, thrones, dominions, princedoms, powers, virtues, archangels, angels. But for me, most of those schemes seem to push it a bit too far, especially in light of the entire argument of the first chapter of Hebrews. Because Judaism, about the time of Jesus, was given to constructing these magnificent angel hierarchies also. That argument is simply that now we have the Son, whose name is much superior to any angel that you can name. We don't have many angel names for a reason. Likewise, we don't have a clear revelation of the hierarchy of heaven for a reason, I think. Because we do have the Son. But there are some clear things that have been given to us about angels and a clear purpose, which is what we're going to concentrate on today. The first thing that I want to highlight is contrary to the popular imagination. My guess is that when we say angel today, we think of pudgy little babies with wings or impossibly stylized live figures, Hummels or Yadros. Neither of those things are very frightening. They might be cute or graceful or any number of other fine things, but none of them are going to force your face to the ground. But the reaction of every person in the Bible to seeing an angel, with the possible exception of the Virgin Mary, is, "Oh crap, don't kill me, it's over." Take Daniel's reaction as our example. "Look, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees." And that trembling is a restoration of sorts. I don't know why they cut off the reading, but right before where our text picks up, Daniel describes the one whose hand touches. "I looked up and I saw a man dressed in fine linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and his feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people." Daniel records his response to seeing this angel. "My strength left, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak. And when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face in the ground." The hand is put on Daniel to raise him to his hands and knees from that. I don't know exactly how being chiseled out of precious stones whose skin shines like bronze gets translated to pudgy winged babies, but biblical angels are powerful. They are powers and dominions and thrones and principalities. They are warriors, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. They speak with great voices, the voices of a multitude. And their first words are almost always, "Fear not." Because when you come into the presence of the truly holy, and when you are not truly holy, you know it. And the Old Testament, to Daniel, these powerful beings had resistance. Satan and those fallen angels. There are powers and principalities and thrones and dominions that have waged war against God and against his creation. When Satan tempts Jesus, he offers him all the kingdoms of the world. That's probably not an exaggeration. They seem to be his. As long as this current age, this heaven and this earth continue, those fallen angels have a role. They have some authority here. Strong enough that the prince of Persia, not the temporal fleshy one, but the spiritual one, similar to Michael and Israel, was able to resist that messenger for 21 days. It took the action of Michael himself to break the enemy lines and to get the message to Daniel. That is the reality. We live our lives on the battlefield. Creatures unimaginably more powerful than we are, with weapons that affect us, but we might feel that effect, but we couldn't understand them even if we picked them up in our hands, have been battling over this territory for millennia. For Daniel, it was an act of war. The outcome wasn't known, or it could be known. Like the outcome of our civil war was obvious to General Sherman before it even started. But the armies were still on the field. The martial spirit was still high. The march to the sea hadn't happened yet. Pickett's charge had not been repelled. But for us, this is the great good news, because Jesus came and he broke those enemy lines for good. Where Satan before could come and go into heaven accusing as he pleased, like he did with Job, Jesus sees Satan fall like lightning, cast out of heaven, no longer able to accuse the saints. Where before it took the direct intervention of an archangel to break the ranks, now the devils were subject to the faithful in Jesus' name. Michael took that great dragon and threw him out, and because there was no longer any place for him in heaven, because the blood of Jesus has covered everything that he could accuse us about. Christ broke his power and he broke his authority, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. And everyone covered in that blood has already conquered. Kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord. Alleluia. And they are yours through the sign of that cross. That dragon and his troops are no longer fearful legions. They can no longer mount any direct resistance. They are now lost and divided and scavenging the land. Rogue troops, small fighting bands, like those Japanese troops on the islands years later, or like the KKK with their evil trying to refight a lost war. Satan still roams around and tries to suck you into his evil. He will try to confuse you, and he still has some small amount of power and authority that hangs there. And in some places, some of that old power can be used. Scripture even seems to say that we should be aware that he will still get his little season. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath. But his time is short. This world is now passing away. And any vestige of power and authority that Satan has dies with this world. So don't trade the kingdom of God, which is yours, for something that is already dead. Don't give away your birthright as the children of God for some bowl of worldly, lukewarm soup. And if it helps, remember the angels. These powerful warriors of God are sent on your behalf. The angels are always watching the little ones, and those little ones are all of us. Because if you do not accept the kingdom of heaven like a little child, it isn't yours. But you have. You have the faith. You've been baptized. The blood of the Lamb is yours. So be like that child and call upon your Father. And your Father will not hesitate to send a legion of angels to your aid. O Daniel, man greatly loved. O Christian, son and daughter greatly loved. Ask. Your Father in heaven will not spare anything. The chariots and horsemen of Israel will come to your aid should that old foe harass you. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. So, we might not have all of their names, but we do have Michael, which means the power of God. And that power of God has cast Satan down. We might not know the full hierarchy, but we know that all the kingdoms of this world and all of the allies of Satan and his old order have fallen to the kingdom of our Christ. And we know that it once took the might of the archangel. Today, it takes the prayers of the saints. We might never in this life see the full power of an angel like Daniel did. But we know it's there because the grave could not hold him. And because Jesus rose higher than all of the angels, he now commands them to guard his people. Saint Michael, the prince of the people of Israel, remains your guardian. And he does that in the name which is above every name, which is Jesus, whose name you bear on your forehead and upon your heart. Amen.